I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jets head coach Adam Gase is about to step up to our little set here and join us. Here he is. And
there he goes.
And there he goes. So just that quick.
There he is.
And there he is
there
again.
He goes.
Look at that, just
back
just
and
like
forth.
That.
How you doing, Adam? Good to see you, man.
How's it going, coach? Good. Nice to meet you. First of all, me and you are on the same page with smelling salts. I need those things. When I'm driving home early, so I get up at 3:15. I'm in the car at 3:45. Then I work with this guy for 4 hours, and it's exhausting. And on my way home, I have smelling salts in the console of my car, and I'll be sitting there on the LIE doing that. People are looking at me like I'm nuts. So I'm with you, man. Those things are magic, you know?
They're good for about 10 seconds.
But it helps to get you going, right? You know, the amazing thing is, Adam, you're here now, and you've been here for about 3.5 months. Everybody's got to get to know who you are. They got to get to know your quirks and all the different things that go on and the way you coach and all that other stuff. That's just, I've seen you do that down in Miami for 3 straight years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got a hard time about it last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, they were.
I see guys doing it all the time. I mean, everybody does it.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't care what anybody thinks anyway, so obviously.
Yes, I would think so. So after your initial impression, you get hired here. I don't know if you pay attention to all the kind of stuff that went on.
It's great.
Yeah, now it's great, right? Okay, yeah. Well, there was a lot of like, I don't know, I can't believe we're getting Adam Gase here. He's coming from the Dolphins. He didn't do well there and all that other stuff. How's it been since the initial foray, and what has been really, you know, the way you feel like you've been accepted here?
It's been great. Since I got here. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody in the building's been trying to do the same thing. Everybody's just pulling in the same direction. They're trying to figure out kind of how we were going to set everything up. They reached out to some people in Miami, just to, you know, whoever there was doing their job down there. They were just trying to get ahead of the curve.
Right.
And, you know, when the players got in here, then it helped get everything really rolling. Everybody did a good job of trying to stay ahead of what we're going to do.
I was going to ask you, when did you think that you and Christopher Johnson hit it off? When do you think that you actually made him realize that you were the guy for the job?
I thought it was good on my interview. I mean, I think that this was like my 13th interview for a head coaching job.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't walk in there and with a book and I'm like, just, what do you guys want to know? Like everybody's, well, did you got your book ready? I'm like, what book? Like, I've done this so many times on those interviews, and it was easy to be comfortable. He made it easy. I mean, it was 4 hours. I mean, it goes by fast when you have an open dialogue conversation, you're going back and forth. And when you're in the interview seat and you're asking questions back, mm-hmm. and you know, what's your guys' philosophy on this? It just makes it goes a lot smoother.
What's it like when you have your first job, head coaching job in the NFL, and you probably have dreams of how that's going to end? Doesn't end the way you want it to, but then you're thrust right back into another situation that's exciting as this. Do you even have a minute to think, like, man, like, what? Why did it go the way it did in Miami?
It happens real time. You know, when you're, I mean, it was like fired, hired.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, okay, here we go. So I remember it was, you know, there was a point it was like, am I going to do this? You know, how's this going to turn out? Am I sitting out a year? Am I going to go be a coordinator? Am I going to do the head coaching thing? It was just a lot of things trying to go on in a short period of time. I think once I got here, we got everything set up, and then there was just like a little bit of time to be able to reflect back and kind of think of what, you know, kind of the last 3 months, kind of how that went down. I really do think, though, as things have come up, it's that experience has really helped me. There's like the other day with, you know, our kicker retiring. I've been through that like 4 times.
Oh, you have? I was wondering, like, how many times does a guy come in and
say, Aaron Foster retired in October.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one thing in October. But, I mean, like, here you are.
Well, he was our starting running back.
I know, but you're thinking, like, wait a minute. Your kicker is, like, the last thing you got to worry about, and then all of a sudden he comes in and says,
You got to worry about everything. You got to worry about, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know? I mean, I got a pretty good handbook on, like, all the bad crap that could happen. We went through it. Yeah. You 16 straight? We got it. Done it.
I remember there was a point last year we played one of the clips from your post-game news conference, and someone was asking about Tannehill's injury. And like I could tell and you went, I'm sick of talking about this guy.
Well, here was the problem. This is why I got mad. All right? And it was bad on my part because I totally shouldn't have got mad about this. But it was frustrating because I didn't know. They were like, we don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
Like, he can't throw the ball.
Right.
So, like, we were trying to, I don't know. How do I answer that? I go, one, I'm like a crappy business major or something. I don't know anything about injuries.
Right.
And I don't know how to explain it. And so it's like you're trying to explain what you know, but it's almost like nobody believes you.
Right.
So, I mean,
you just got totally frustrated.
And I got fined $15,000 for whatever it was.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that part of it.
There was something with the injury report that I got screwed.
Oh, okay.
Up.
Right.
Rules. That can happen. Everybody's looking over your shoulder in the NFL. There's no question about that. Let me ask you about your red flag throw on the pass interference call on Thursday night. How do you think this thing is going to play itself out?
It's hard for me to tell. You'll never know until something happens in a playoff game. You know, that's really, to me, or a big game at the end of the year. Then I feel like that's how a lot of these things get judged. You know, the tackling rule, I feel like the officials did a good job of working through that. That wasn't easy for them.
They threw a player out the other night in Arizona.
I heard about that. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
So, I mean, but there's obviously an emphasis on these things now.
Yeah.
And then these officials come in and they talk to you guys. But the thing about it is, like I always say, the officials can talk to you and they can, you know, impart their wisdom on you. But when you get on the field on Sunday, you have a totally different officiating crew.
Right.
And they see things differently than maybe the crew that came in here to explain things to you.
Right.
So there's always going to be a disconnect.
Yeah. I mean, they do a good job of trying to make sure communication. Al's always trying to communicate with all the head coaches. You know, when they send in a crew to come work with us, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, Q&A back and forth with them.
Al is Al Riveron. Yeah. He's the head of officiating for the NFL.
Yeah. So, I mean, they try to stay ahead of everything. It's just, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's football.
It's crazy.
It's 4 hours of insanity. That's what makes it so good.
It feels like this was coming. A total overreaction, though. It's like one of these things that it was a terrible call. Maybe the wrong team went to the Super Bowl, but now we got to deal with an entire new element to this game that could change so much. Like that's my fear. You know, as a fan. Do you feel the same way as a head coach?
We'll coach whatever rules they give us.
Okay.
It's a whole other level of decision-making for you guys and something
it
else
is.
That we can
it
criticize
is. I mean, we've
on.
Spent a lot of time on it. We got to talk about it. You know, we got a lot of guys that are kind of involved in our process. And, you know, it's just on game day, it's when you throw it, you want to be right.
You better be
a big
right.
play.
So right. what did you, when you were younger and you were coaching with Peyton Manning, what did you learn from being around him? Oh.
I think a lot of the stuff that the way that we operate as an offense, it's, you know, based around kind of what we did together, and a lot of the things that I saw him do and a lot of things that I learned that how he went about a weekly preparation. You know, it's just like so much of it is him that we've taken from how he did things. It's hard to really pinpoint one thing, I think, but the quarterback, obviously, the way we do everything with him is all from him.
So do you have the personality in Sam Darnold to handle that?
Oh, he's great. Mm-hmm. He rolls with the punches better than anybody I've ever been around.
Does that surprise you a little bit? I know you played against
him. I didn't know him.
Right.
I didn't really know him. I met him for 15 minutes at the combine. But he's a great kid that just whatever we're doing that day, he puts his head down. He grinds. He'll ask questions. He's really fun to work
no
with.
No resistance. It's like a guy that wants to be a great team leader, it seems like. You know, it seems like just a nice kid. I actually, before he got here to the Jets, I thought he would be perfect for the Giants in the way that they do things. But now that I see him here as the Jet quarterback, I think he's going to stabilize this whole thing.
He handles everything really well. I feel like he's very, like even the game when I started calling it, he was extremely calm. You know, it just seems like this makes sense why nothing bothers him.
When you sat down with Christopher Johnson, obviously he had to be topic number one.
Yeah, that was kind of a big thing.
the quarterback. So. Yeah. Well, yeah, thank God, right? I mean, good thing. It was
really good for me.
Yes,
I mean, that was good.
I'm just wondering, like, you're just from playing against him, being the Dolphins head coach, what did you see that you liked?
You know, we were the first time we played him up here, he came, you know, he's coming off the Detroit game, and we were trying to frustrate him early to see if maybe we could get him out of rhythm, but he caught fire in that second half. We're lucky. There were 6 minutes left in the game, and we had the ball. We were like, he can't touch it again because he was getting a good rhythm. And then the second time we played him, we threw a lot of different stuff at him.
This is where he got hurt. That's the game he got hurt. He played hurt too, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't tell anybody until later.
Well, I mean, you want that though, right?
Yeah, which is not a surprise knowing him now.
Hey, how about quickly, I just want to ask you one more question about Peyton. How bad was his injury there at the end? And what was he playing on fumes or like
when he the last year he was there? I was in Chicago.
Yeah, but you had to be.
We were communicating, but he didn't talk to me. I think it was just there were certain things that I just stayed away from.
When you watched him on TV, could you see?
No, I had different thoughts going. I was blaming everybody else.
Oh, you were.
Well, that's the way you got to do it, right?
Yeah.
We're talking to Adam Gase. All right. So your relationship with Stephen Ross in Miami was reported on as if you guys were grating against one another and you didn't see eye to eye. How much of that was true, and how much of your meeting with Christopher Johnson early did you need to have a different relationship maybe with him to want to take this job?
Whoa,
Adam Gase just broke the table.
That's good. I like it.
Look at that. Very good.
What kind of set do we have?
I don't know, man. You have to talk to our guy. There we go. There we go.
All right. What are we going to do here?
All right, we're good.
I'm not touching this.
Yeah, don't lean on it anymore. Yeah.
Thanks. I got a good breakfast.
So how much of that Stephen Ross stuff was true, and how much did the relationship that you
obviously
had?
Obviously, I was trying to dodge that question.
Yeah, right. Yes. So you broke the table instead.
Yeah. Me and Mr. Ross had a good relationship. I mean, it's just the majority of things that you actually hear aren't true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's I don't even know what was really out there, but I'm probably going to say it's majority of it's not true.
Yeah.
And what else did you ask me? You asked me something about
Christopher Johnson and wanting a different owner, different guy. How important talking to him, he's interviewing you, but were you almost interviewing him in a sense?
No, because when I met him, right away I could tell that just the things that we were talking about, it was really easy conversation.
Yeah.
When he comes out here and when I talk to him on the phone and me and Joe talk to him, it's really easy to talk to him, and he's so into this. He loves this team.
Right.
The whole family, they love this team.
Now, was the whole Maccagnan thing from the outside, right? And obviously the outside, we don't really know what's going on, but it seemed like it was a little bit choppy in the sense you have a guy go through the draft and the free agency and all the money that's spent, and then all of a sudden he's not here and there's a GM search.
That's why it's good that there's an owner.
Right.
So when you're the head coach, when he makes decisions, you do what he wants you to do.
Right. But at the same time, people are thinking, all right, Adam Gase came in here and now he's in charge and he's got the owners here.
There was a lot of things that happened before I got here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only been here 3 months.
So that stuff, I know, but so that stuff about you coming in, new sheriff in town, this guy out, that's another one of these things that's not true.
Yeah, I know. I'm a tougher guy than what I realize.
It's all perception, right? Yeah. So maybe you can say hashtag fake news or whatever you want to say.
Not a bad perception.
I was just wondering if Stephen Ross took away your SoulCycle membership and took away your Equinox membership, and you did not get invited to the fundraiser out in the Hamptons with Donald
Trump,
did you?
Have to worry about
you're focused here. Okay, that's good. So tell me about some of the new additions, Le'Veon Bell, what you've seen of him and how he looks.
Yeah, that's been fun. Really getting to be as creative as we can get with him. And we've been trying to do things with him that he's never done before. And watching all his old stuff, and we kind of talked through with him what the plan was, and he's been excited. And when he gets out here, he executes, you put something new in, he gets it like right now.
And he's in shape and he's ready to go.
Oh, yeah. He's in unbelievable shape.
Right. So there's no question about whether or not he's going to be ready to go for the start of the season, and you no doubts.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe one of the underrated.
When you watch him out here, right. The first day we did short yardage, we didn't even go – we weren't going full contact, except he was going full contact. He was like, first ball I get, I'm going to stroke somebody. And he did.
Wow.
That's a big man going downhill with his lowering his pads, and he ran somebody over.
I guess maybe one of the other underrated signings is Ty Montgomery.
Oh, he's been great.
And he showed
those two guys are awesome to have in the backfield. You got a lot of flexibility there because they can do everything.
Did you have to have a talk with Le'Veon after the whole Adam Gase thinks you're paid too much thing? Did you have to sit to have a man-to-man?
Well, we were talking before that because it was that the off-season part. So I was I would reach out to him, and we were talking all the time. I was checking in with him, seeing what he was doing, and making sure, like for me, I just cared about him studying.
Sure.
You know, I was like, just keep up with this stuff so when you come in, it's not completely brand new to you. So you can practice.
I think what Gio's asking, you have to alleviate some of the pressure and some of the stuff? Because he's a social media guy. He's out there. He sees everything.
Yeah, it's not his name.
Well, we had been talking so much. I was like, well, if I didn't like you, I'd sure do talk to you too much then.
Right. Well, I don't know about what's going on in this NFL these days. It's a different planet than when I played. I could tell you that the players tend to be a little bit more vocal and not afraid to say things publicly. You know, do you guys have a Twitter? Do you have like a Twitter policy or a social media policy?
My biggest thing is just be smart with what you say. You know, once you send, like it's out there. All that delete and like it's not deleted. Like somebody got it.
Yeah.
So it's just about being smart with what you say. You know, our big thing is it's all about our team. Mm. It's about each guy doing their job, and that's what our focus is. You know, we just don't like guys talking about something that they don't really know a lot about.
Do you feel like you have to adjust your personality to maybe the more sensitive athlete these days?
No.
That is always, you know,
I refuse to do that.
You will not do that.
No.
I mean, because there's some guys out there.
A different way to talk to guys. There's a different way. Each guy's different.
Yeah.
I learned that from Marks a long time ago. He was talking about how he had to talk to different players. Like, this guy can yell at. This guy got a kind of whisper coach. And I was like, what's whisper coach? I never heard of that before. But, you know, that's just kind of how I learned it from him.
Yeah.
But I'm not the whole millennial thing, I refuse to acknowledge it.
you're not changing
well,
for anybody.
These guys get paid they get paid well. And, you know, it's kind of funny watching John Gruden the other night on Hard Knocks. I don't know if you saw that.
I can't watch it.
You can't watch it. Well.
I finally went back and watched the Jets. I watched
some
of the Jets. Because I wanted to be able to give Tannenbaum a hard time when I was in Miami. So yes. I was watching it. And it was funny because when you're with somebody for 3 years and then you go back and watch something that came out a while ago, like the mannerisms and things that I could pick up a lot of things. I like knew when he was frustrated and
he was actually scouting Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah,
I like
fun
it
for me.
Why can't you watch it now? What about it makes you
I just can't. I can't do it.
But there's got to be a reason.
It drives me nuts.
Why?
Because that's like it's a pain for us.
Well, why don't you? It's invasive, is what it is.
It is.
It shows a different side of you. And quite frankly, you know, Gruden's perfect for it. Rex Ryan was perfect for it.
They're showing you what they want you to see.
Yeah, I get it, but there's also
a lot of editing going on.
I'm sure there is. Now, what's interesting is that you have to deal with things that you would never thought you would deal with, like helmet issues. Have you ever had a player that had helmet issues?
Last year, we didn't have an issue with it, but when we got Frank Gore, he had been wearing the same helmet since, like, San Fran when he first came in the league, and they don't make it anymore.
Yeah, well, that's like, the thing that Antonio Brown is saying, that they're not making his helmet
anymore.
And
so that was I remember that the equipment guy is trying to figure out, like, what are we going to do? You know, how do we get him the helmet he wants? They don't make this helmet anymore.
So what did they take the helmet and then
they figured something out with him where they got it all straightened out and it worked out.
I mean, this came out of the blue. I know this was something that was talked about last year, and they let the guys grandfather their helmets. So other than Frank Gore, no other players have ever complained? Nobody here?
I remember Matt Moore was trying some new helmet or something, and he was like, every time I look left, my head starts to fall. It's too heavy or something.
How about frozen feet? Have you ever dealt with that? Ever have a player show up
outside of standing in Pittsburgh when it was like 4 degrees in a playoff game? Not that I can recall.
So how do you juxtapose the head coach and tenth head coach to the guy that needs to be the CEO of the Jets in a sense as well? You're talking all the business people, and you got to have that side of you because you're so intense that you could probably, you know, lock yourself in that office and watch film every hour of the day, but you know there's another side of the job as well. Is that tough for you to go back and forth?
It's hard for me to sit still, man. I'm worse than players are. Like, I'm always up and moving and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I like being around. I like our building's great. Like, we have so many great people in this building. Like, when Joe got in here, I'm like, you're going to love this. This is a hidden gem, man. There's so many great people here that have been here for a long time. They're just hungry to win, and that's all everybody does. It's just the whole building is on fire as far as just trying to get everything done to help us win.
So when they decide, when Christopher Johnson decides to let Mike McCagnan go, does he ask you for input on maybe who you would think would be the
next discussions.
Gentleman?
We had discussions, and it was more about finding the right guy for him. That was the biggest thing.
Well, you know Joe from Chicago, right?
Yeah, I knew him from Chicago, and then, you know, other guys that came in and interviewed. You know, I there's not a lot of guys that I don't know, and I started in scouting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was 24 years old, and all these guys were, all the guys that are kind of coming up as GM candidates now, they were all, we were all growing up together. So it's a small, it's a smaller right. profession than what
incestuous,
you realize.
Incestuous, if you will, right? Everybody knows one another.
Kind right. of, that's right. right. How yeah. is your relationship with Mike Tannenbaum these days?
It's good. Is he it? Checks in on me every once in a while. It's frustrating when somebody will tell me, Mike was saying this about ESPN. I'm like, he can't talk about that. Because he knows me so well. Yes. I mean, we spent, him and Chris Greer, we spent so much time together. We were together all the time. And he knows, Mike knows me as well as anybody.
What's something about Greg Williams that we don't know? I mean, I feel like even watching him on Hard Knocks, knowing his history, it's so intense. But what's something about him that maybe we don't know?
I don't know. He's not afraid to be himself, I guess, out here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you see is really what you get. I will say this. Greg is really – he is very organized into everything. If I go to him and ask him anything, he is so good. His knowledge of the game is awesome. It's so deep.
Yeah.
So I can go with him, to him and be like, hey, have you ever been through this before? And he will rattle off 10 things that he's been through, which is awesome for a head coach who's 41 years old and in his fourth year being a head coach, because right. I ain't seen nearly as much as what he's seen.
Sure.
Or Joe Vitt. Like, right. having those two guys on the staff, that's like 75 years of experience. That's huge for all the young coaches on the staff, because they teach, they help other guys develop and learn.
It's just too bad they don't play defensive back now that you lost Tremaine Johnson.
Hey, you're great opportunity for somebody.
Yeah, well, that's I guess that's what you got to look at it. So how bad is or how significant is the injury for Tremaine Johnson?
I don't know. I haven't put hands on him this morning. So
really?
I'll let you know later.
You don't want to talk about that guy?
Yeah.
You want
to talk about training? My training skills are a little – okay. I haven't got to that part of my job yet. You know what? Yesterday, seeing that, you know, at first you're kind of like, that really doesn't need to happen right now. Right. But then you transition into, this is going to be a great opportunity for somebody. Somebody has to step up. Somebody's got to grow up right now. Like, we don't have time to wait. And that's how you have to look at it. I can't look at it and feel sorry for myself. What's the point of doing that? That's not right. going to do anything.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be a big year for him. Maybe a little bit of a disappointing year, reunited with Greg Williams before the injury. Were you seeing maybe the all-pro Tremaine Johnson?
He had some good days.
Yeah.
He was having, you know, it's just, I mean, when you get become a veteran corner sometimes, all it takes is every once in a while you kind of get some of those soft tissue things going on. So we'll get him back eventually. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to be.
Okay.
And how about your initial impressions of C.J. Mosley?
As advertised.
Right.
Yesterday was – I saw a different side of him, too, yesterday. Things weren't going the way he wanted them to. I saw him kind of start speaking up and saying some stuff to the defense, and that practice flipped around real quick. We struggled on offense after that. They were making us struggle.
And the plan for the preseason, next couple of games with Sam, we saw him for one drive, very exciting drive that was
– Yeah, I wanted to keep him in.
Yeah, it's tough, but right?
Yeah, it is. Because when you're having fun calling plays, you're not thinking. You're just. It's a game. You're
right.
You're calling.
So maybe you get a quarter, two quarter, a half in the second.
We'll see kind of how it plays out. It's so fluid.
Right.
And we tell those guys, be ready to play the half.
Right.
And then it always changes. It might be a quarter. Might be four series. I don't know how it's going to go, because it could be 5-3 and outs, and then you're like, well, we're going to keep going because we look like crap.
You know?
Or it might be three drives and it's like 10 plays, a series, and you're like, all right, we're out.
You know, the amazing thing I would think for a coach like you, it seems like as intense as you are, is that you just...
Do I seem that intense?
Yeah, you do. I've always felt that way.
Doesn't make you a bad guy.
No, makes you actually the right guy is exactly what it does.
I don't know, last time I checked, like, people, we want to win, right?
Yeah, of course. At all costs, by the way.
Yes.
There's no shortcuts, we all know that, but that's what I was going to ask you. There's not enough time on the field anymore, is there?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You really have to do, you have to maximize your time. This spring hurts you in the aspect of it's hard to develop that chemistry and to do it in the short amount of time they give you here. Like when you played, there'd be, because I had Jimmy Johnson scheduled for Miami when they were doing the 2-a-days.
Yeah.
It was like 24 practices before their first preseason game. There's like 12. Or there's not even that. That's including walkthroughs. It's like 8 practices.
Yeah, we didn't have walkthroughs. We actually had real practices.
I remember. I was my first part of my career. I remember all that.
It was, and it gave. I think it gave coaches a better feel for what they had. There was no question about that. I think we felt more prepared as players.
You were hardened up too. It's interesting. The injury thing is interesting to kind of look at, because I know a lot of guys that played before the CBA would say, I was hardened up, I was ready to go, there weren't as many injuries, and you know, there's always that argument.
Yeah, you never know. But I would also say this is different too. When I look at this facility here, I look at the hotel that they stay in right down the road. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different than you know.
Well, hotels are always going to be a complaint. As if you're not in your own bed, this hotel is terrible. No, it's not. Trust me.
No, this hotel
is
not
a dorm.
Terrible.
There is air conditioning. You're in good shape.
It's not a dorm at Wilmington, Ohio, right outside of Columbus. I can tell you like that right now. Where we had to bring in our own. You know, the guys never brought in air conditioners until I got there, and then I brought all my offensive linemen air conditioners.
That's a good move. You're going to get great protection.
Yeah, exactly. I did. So take me through a couple of other players here. Ryan Khalil, obviously a valuable now new part of this offensive line. We had him on this morning. Seems like a great kid. He's 100% ready to go. I mean, he's a man. I get it, but to me, he's a kid.
Yeah. I mean, what's he, 33 now?
Yeah.
God, I mean, it's just like, it feels like a long time ago that he got. I remember when he got drafted.
Right.
I think it was right pretty early in my career when he got drafted. And getting him out here, seeing him get out at practice yesterday, we're trying to progress him along as fast as possible, but at the same time, be smart because, you know, we need him to be on the field. And we got to do it the right way. I mean, it's just, when you don't have an off season and you don't have the beginning of training camp, it's kind of like, where's that fine line? He hasn't been here. So he felt good yesterday, so we're going to keep increasing what we're doing with him. And then, you know, hopefully by next week, we can really get him rolling.
Well, it sounds like he's been in shape and he's been thinking about this for months. So it's not like he woke up
yesterday.
When
he showed up and he was 291, I was like,
he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. And how about Jamison Crowder?
He's been a great addition for us. Just the way he works. I mean, the guy's got a great feel for the game. I think the other night we really saw kind of who he is. It's like the lights come on and that guy shows up. And he did, in the game, he did things exactly the way you coach him to do, where we might make some mistakes on the field. Like the way they operate, like the way he operated in a game was perfect. And it was awesome to see him have success.
And how about, I know we saw Chris Herndon, he looked good, but he's not going to be there for the first 4 weeks of the season. So what do you
Yeah,
do?
I mean, it is what
there?
It is with that. You know, my biggest thing to him is he needs to focus on, like, right now. Get better right now. We'll worry about the four games later. I like the fact that he got a catch in that and an explosive play. Like, that was good for him. I mean, all it's been is negative, negative, negative. I'm like, dude, don't worry about that.
Were there any players that you inherited here that you were surprised about how good they are or better than what you expected them to be?
God, I don't know. I mean, Winners, you know, I hadn't watched Beecham a lot.
Yeah.
And watching him and Kelechi next to each other, that side line's strong. I really like how they're playing right now. And seeing Beecham, I never really noticed how long he was and how he was able to really stymie guys on the edge of the line of scrimmage. That's been
it's like the nicest guy we ever interviewed, Kelvin Beecham. He wrote Boomer a letter after we had him in studio thanking him. It's like
Kelechi, I'll tell you this. Kelechi, when you talk to him, you're like, wow, this is the nicest guy ever. And then you watch him on the field.
It's a maniac.
It is a violent experience.
Well, it's a very large man, too.
Yeah, it is a large man.
Who brings a bad attitude to the field, but a great attitude off the field, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's why I think your offensive line and adding Khalil is going to be great.
I think having Frank Pollock as our offensive line coach is really big, too. He is – we got a steal by getting him.
I was going to say, when you were putting your coaching staff together, you know, I mean, you were like one of the first ones to be able to do that, right?
Yep.
I mean, because it happened relatively quickly.
Yep, it did.
And then Christopher gave you whatever you needed to get whoever you wanted?
Yep. I mean, it was that was the easy part. It was just trying to organize everything and figure out, you know, who it was going to be. And it was weird. I had a weird thing going on, too, because I was, like, trying to go back to Florida, get stuff. You know, I mean,
plus, you know, we also heard about your situation with your wife being pregnant. And you're like, everything good? Good? Okay, we left.
5 years ago.
Yeah, but still, I mean, but that just kind of tells you who you are. I mean, I know you love your family, and that's the most important thing in your life.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But, you know, trying to take over a franchise the way that you were asked to do and then come in and have to move your family and everything else. People don't see that side of it and just how much pressure there is.
It's interesting. You're doing a lot of travel. You're doing a lot of talking on the phone. You're trying to get a hold of guys. You're dealing with agents, you know, between myself and kind of the front office guys. You're scrambling because you're competing against all these other guys. Now, all of a sudden, somebody else gets hired. They're trying to pull the same guys. And it was like the same guys are all out there. The pool of guys, it's small.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, you've been a welcome addition. I wish you nothing but the best. Yep. It's going to be great for you. And watching you work with Sam is going to be really interesting moving forward.
Are you guys actually going to come out and watch practice?
We may.
You guys got your show the entire time?
No, till 10. And then when the helicopter shows up, you know that's when Boomer's leaving. So that's the sign.
That's how you're rolling. Huh?
Yeah, well, you know what we have today? We have our CBS seminar with the officials today.
Oh.
So they explain to us in the media what they're trying to get done on the field. You talk about a conversation because you have all these ex-quarterbacks in this room. From
getting
the Rich Gannis, the Tony Romo, and everything else. Just absolutely just getting annoyed by all of it.
You couldn't pay me to be the guy standing in front of that group. I'm just going to say, being around one that was not afraid to be like, what are we doing here?
Yes.
Having 20 of you guys again? Oh, God.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But it's great to see you, Adam.
Yeah,
good luck to you,
guys.
Man.
Nice meeting
I'll
you, man. Best of luck. Jets head coach Adam Gase. They got practice in just a few minutes, and we will check it out for sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.